Hey everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event Podcast Network. Typically, you hear Jason Agnew during these intros, but I feel that this week's episode needs a little bit more of a customized intro, because let me tell you, this weekend is a huge weekend in the world of professional wrestling. All Elite Wrestling, AEW, X, Cross, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and JPW in the Forbidden Door. This episode is our AEW Dynamite review show. Typically, it's hosted by Joe Aguinaldo and Dan DeMatharansky. I stepped in for Joe, and Dan and Anna kind of ran through the entire show. There was some nitpicking, valid points, maybe invalid points. Let us know what you think. This show is just one of the many shows that you can find on the SNME, that's the Sunday Night's Main Event Podcast Network, on the Patreon network. You know, we're more than just a Sunday radio show. We have a show each and every single day of the week, and you can get at us for under $5 a month. That's right. Just for $5 a month, you can get each and every show that we release and have special access to the after parties, which we kind of talk about in this show. The after parties typically take place right after a major pay-per-view or premium live event. And, you know, you're allowed to Zoom up and chat with us. Let us know what you think. And this Sunday, after AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door, we are hosting a special after party. If you are a patron, or if you join the Patreon, you will get the Zoom link. You'll be able to watch things live as they go down. If you're not a Patreon, that's all good. You'll get the link for YouTube. I'll be sending that out on all the social medias, everything. Find us on Facebook group. That's SNME Radio, and you can find us on all the social medias, typically SNME Radio. It's all the same handle for the most part. But this show, we run down through Dynamite, and we go through the Forbidden Door card with the legendary Dan DeMatharansky and me. And so we hope you enjoy this show. Just remember, if you want to be a part of the Patreon, where you get a wrestling show each and every single day, join us at patreon.com/SNME Radio. So without further ado, let's get to the show.
Welcome to another edition here, All Elite Wrestling Weekly with the Dynamite Review. It's Mr. Old Fuck, old, as the Iron Sheik might say, Old Fuck number one. Mr. Old Fuck number one, Haktu. Dan the Mouth Lavransky here. Once again, Joe Aguinaldo cannot join me. The real world has taken him down, and so he's down for the count. But coming out of, I'm not sure if he came out of the bad guy tunnel or the good guy tunnel, but anyways, he's here. Boris Aguilar is here to join me and run down Dynamite. Boris, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling so much better than I have the past few days. I'm feeling really good, and I think both you and I are walking out of that bad guy tunnel, because we've got some takes after this week's Dynamite.
Yeah. Just quickly before we start, what took you down? Was it just like the flu, or it wasn't COVID, was it?
No, it wasn't COVID. I don't know what it was. I think it was just honestly just pushing my body too much.
Right. Tired. Yeah.
Yeah. On Friday, it just hit me and boom, I was down until like Monday. But then the past few days, I've just been feeling so sleepy and foggy and everything. And I've done a COVID test and it's still negative. So yeah, but I feel so much better.
Yeah, maybe you know it's what? The probably beer. After your trip out west, right, and everything, and, you know, probably tired and shit. So,
yep.
All right. Well, this will make you expand some energy, that's for sure. This show starts off, you know, one of the things we always talk about with Dynamite, or one of the things I always like about Dynamite, is they always seem to find a good way to start off the episode, whether it's a hot match or, you know, like a debut of someone we're all anticipating, like they did with CM Punk or Bryan Danielson. This one, I don't know. This did not really, to me, this was not a good way to start off the show, because it put me in a bad mood for the whole rest of the show pretty well. And they did enough stuff in the rest of the show, too, that was irritating. So Bryan Danielson comes out. He puts over AEW and pro wrestling. He puts over Blood and Guts next week on Dynamite, which, of course, the crowd chanted along with that. But he said he wanted to prove to Zack Sabre Jr. that he was the best pro wrestler, not Zack Sabre Jr. And what I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he basically said, I can't wrestle at Forbidden Door or Blood and Guts, but I will be back eventually. And he said he's found someone to take his place at Blood and Guts, and he's got someone that he thinks can take on Zack Sabre as well. So he's talking about some kind of replacement here. He says we would be astounded at what he does. And then, of course, the crowd just starts doing the who, the New Day who chant went through the AEW arena. And Danielson basically said, who, you want to know who it is? And he goes, well, didn't you see which tunnel I came out of? I'm not going to tell you. And so we now know that Zack Sabre Jr. is going to wrestle at the show, but we don't know who. This was lame. It does not sell. I'm not a fan of this. I hate so-and-so versus mystery opponent. I always have. I can remember very few times when it ever lived up to the hype, because that's the danger of this kind of tactic, is that whoever you put in that spot is hard to live up to the hype. So I don't like this. I don't think it was well done. And it doesn't make me want to watch the pay-per-view. I'm not going into the pay-per-view going, ooh, I wonder who it is. I'm going into the pay-per-view going, oh, really? That's kind of lame. So yeah. I don't know about you, Boris, but show is not off to a good start for me.
I have to agree with you, man. So I know a lot of people are thinking and speculating around Johnny Gargano or Cesaro. I personally think it'll be Chris Hero. But.
And see, how Chris Hero, is Chris Hero going to live up to this hype?
Exactly.
No way.
Exactly.
No, not in a million years, right?
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. What if it's John Morrison or whatever he wants to call himself?
I haven't. It's funny that you came prepared with names. I never even have really. That's how much it put me off, Boris, that I haven't even speculated on who it might be. You know what? I haven't even really thought about it. I was so put off by the gimmick because I'm just like. And you know what? If it is going to be Gargano or Ciampa or someone that you've got in there, Cesaro, that can really make an impact, tell us.
Yep.
Tell us. Come on. Like, I honestly, this, there's most of the, I'm trying to think on the New Japan roster, but I'm guessing they're not going to put a New Japan guy in this spot, right? Do you think they will?
I don't think so. It'll be someone from America for sure. And okay, I'm just going to say it right now. This buildup has been the most WWE buildup to a show ever. This is also what I felt to be the most WWE go-home show to a major pay-per-view that AEW has ever done. And it kind of just goes to show you, right, like that the quick turnaround of this show. And I feel like AEW put themselves in an uphill battle for this show.
Yep.
And this show really felt like as a thank you to their long-term fans, but they did a piss-poor job of trying to attract anyone new. The casual fan is just completely checked out. I'm very interested and curious to see what the ratings look like this week, because if it continues the trend, man.
I want to know what happened after that first segment, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's funny that you, again, equated it to a WWE style show. I didn't really think that must be why I didn't like it so much. It was just really bad. And yes, that was their mistake. Obviously, they shouldn't have booked it a month after the last pay-per-view. You have to give these guys time. The fans got to know who they are. Like, you know, like we made the joke last week where it was like, you know, why, you know, you were telling me who these guys are. And it was kind of like, well, why are you doing that? You shouldn't be doing that. They should be doing that. And it was funny because on this week's show, there was a couple great examples of them doing that with their own storylines, but none with the New Japan guys, even though the show is like this weekend.
Yep, exactly. So, it's unfortunate, and I like it's hard. Like, how do you do this right in such a short amount of time? I get that, but they did it to themselves. They booked everything, and
There's ways around it. You know, Boris, if they had done character vignettes of these guys and just started integrating them into the show, like soon as the last show was over, the very next Wednesday, you should have started integrating these promos. Like, here's a profile of Ishii. Here's a profile of Hanmar, whoever you're going to use, right? Whichever guys you're going to use in this, here's a profile of Zack Sabre Jr. or Ospreay or whatever, and get people up to speed. Like, it's not hard. You can get all the footage you want. I'm sure they don't have to be long.
That's the thing, right? Like, They can be random. They can be these little vignettes that they do can be a minute and a half max. Put them before commercials when you come back from commercials. And then, like, for example, you get a minute and a half. Why do I have to give a shit about Will Ospreay? Cool. Then when he actually shows up, hey, I remember this guy from that mini vignette. People are going to say there's no time.
Like, the whole premise of the pay-per-view is it's guys from New Japan. All right. Not everybody knows who they are. Like, to me, this is such a given. It should be like, I guess, again, I think they somewhat overestimate their audience sometimes. It's like, no, man, you still got to lead them by the hand and educate them. So anyways, I think we've made that abundantly clear. And it's not the first time we've made that clear either.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so from the opening with Bryan Danielson, we go to Moxley promo. He goes, sometimes it's business, sometimes it's personal, but at Blood and Guts, it will definitely be personal. Jericho Appreciation Society, what an ego trip. You blinded my best friend, you put my partner on the shelf, and then you came after me. He said, in Vegas, we found out they can fight, and next we find out if they can survive. He goes, I'm with the tough guy. Santana and Ortiz survived the streets of New York. Kingston survived the grind of this business for 17 years. Wheeler survived everything we could throw at him. And he goes, God, I hate Chris Jericho. And he goes, we'll find out how much they are willing to endure next week in the bloody steel cage. He goes, but before that, this Sunday is the biggest match of my entire life for the AEW title against the greatest wrestler who ever lived in Tanahashi. He goes, this means a lot to me after 3 years of transformation. I'm a changed man. I'm a father. He goes, this Sunday, I finally transform into what I knew could be, what I knew I could be when I get in the ring with Tanahashi. He goes, but tonight, it's business. Sunday, it's personal, because once the bell rings, I have no respect for anyone. So there you go. Typical good Moxley promo.
Yep. It's funny, because I was watching this with someone who's more of a casual fan, right? They turned to me, and it's like, can they coexist? And I just burst out laughing.
Of course. Exactly. Yep. Because they are together. That's right. They're teaming up later on in the main event. Okay, so next up, we had a six-man tag. It's Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice, which is Rocky Romero and Trent. And that was against Will Ospreay and Aussie Open, which is Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher. They're all a faction together in New Japan. Crowd, you know, this is definitely a polarizing match, I think. For me, you know, and I know I've been quite the advocate of Orange Cassidy the whole time since AEW formed, and I have overall liked what they've done with him, but honestly, and I think this is more not so much of Cassidy, but because of how you feel about Ospreay. I don't like these guys being together. I really don't. I'm just like, Will Ospreay and his team should not be involved in this kind of angle, especially for a pay-per-view. I'm just like, you know, these guys should be much stronger. Ospreay, Ospreay is always portrayed as such a dick. He's always, you know, swearing like 90. He's such an arrogant kind of prick. And I'm just like, that's kind of, I just feel it's all wasted here on this and everything. So I don't know. How do you feel about Orange and Ospreay, the double O here?
It's one of those things where I'm sure it'll be fine. I know they'll be able to book something fun and entertaining. And, you know, I've been up and down.
Okay, fun and entertaining, fine, but it's Will Ospreay.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It is Will motherfucking Ospreay, one of the best wrestlers in the world. You know, a guy who's destined to be IWGP heavyweight champion. And this is your time to really put him over in the with the American audiences. And you have him against Orange Cassidy. Like, yeah, there's just so many different other... There's so many different, like, combinations I'd rather see.
Like, there's a time to accentuate Orange Cassidy, and there's a time to let him stay in the background. And this is the time to let him stay in the background. Like, he shouldn't be even on this card. Why is he even... Like, why are they even bothering to have him on this card when you have so many other people that would fit the premise of the card?
Oh, my God. But you have the perfect person that could have gone against Yano.
Yano. Exactly. Like, exactly. You know what? I would have had no problem with that. In fact, I would have enjoyed it. In fact, if they had announced that, last night, wow, I would have been, it would have turned me around on this show, because that makes sense. The two of them could come up with some innovative, funny stuff. They could play off both of each other's comedy bits. Like, it's gold. It would be classic. And instead, we have mismatch of the fucking century here.
Yeah. And I know, look, I know the Pac match with Orange Cassidy was good enough, but good enough for this platform, for this type of show, isn't what you want.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't work. So, I mean, you know, Orange, he got his Stun Dog Millionaire on Ospreay at one point. Crowd was pretty freaked out by that. I think they all chanted holy shit at that point. I don't even have much notes on this. Orange punch from Cassidy, and he pinned Fletcher. That was it. I mean, it was an okay match. Cobb and O'Connor, of course, run out afterwards. Because it's Roppongi Vice and Cobb and O'Connor against FTR for the tag titles at the pay-per-view. And of course, you know, Cobb and O'Connor were about to get in there and mix it up with Roppongi Vice, but then FTR ran them off, and then they ran off Ospreay and Aussie Open. So it was kind of a weird way to push that three-way. Like, I don't know. To me, it was not the best way to kind of push that match. There you go. And this is another thing that is plaguing this show is three ways. If you look at the card, there are two singles matches. That's it. Yep. And like all the rest is three ways or tags. And there's a four way too, actually. So I'm just like, I don't really like that. Although if you look at the New Japan style, a lot of their shows are like that. You only have a couple big singles matches on top and all the rest is tags. That's what we're going to get here.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this kind of feels like one of those Road 2 shows with all the multi-men matches.
Yeah. I think if you were going to do Roppongi Vice and Jeff Cobb and the Great O'Con and FTR for the tag titles, then make it about them. Like, Orange doesn't need to be there. I don't know. I guess maybe it was just for this, and hopefully they just have this one match at the pay-per-view, and I guess that's it. But still, it's a waste of Ospreay for sure.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, so after this, we go to a promo of... And by this point, you know, usually on Wednesday nights, because I have to go to bed so early to get up for work, that usually when Dynamite starts when I go to bed. But a lot of times, if it starts with something hot, I'll stay out and I'll watch it. And I'll enjoy it. And then the next segment will come on. I'm like, oh, shit. And I'll sit through that. You know, last night, by the time that match got going, the tag there with Ospreay and them, I was like, nope, I'm out of here. I'm more than ready to go to bed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay. So.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got nothing. I'll wait to rant a little more a little later.
Okay. So after this. We had the Sanjay Dutt promo with the Lethal, of course, and Satnam Singh. This was great. Sanjay, right out of the gate, Sanjay goes, I'm so happy I bought a new box of pencils. So, yeah, they're playing up his Booker background. In fact, he's always got the pencil behind his ear, which I love. Dutt said, Satnam Singh made his debut. It was great. Lethal's getting wins. He said they were off to India to celebrate. And Lethal stopped him and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. The bigger celebration is to come when I become Ring of Honor TV champion. He goes, but I can't do that until Samoa Joe comes back. And he asked Singh, he goes, when do you think he's going to come back? And Singh's like, oh, he's been out for a month. And Lethal's like, Joe, your time is running out. He goes, but you have two options. One, you tape up that shoulder and come back and defend that title against me. Or two, you vacate the title to its rightful owner, the longest running ever Ring of Honor TV champion. He goes, make up your mind because the clock is ticking. And then right at the end, Sanjay Dutt pulled a David Letterman and threw a pencil right at the camera. Which in the early days, Letterman used to do that constantly. He was throwing pencils at the cameraman. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I love these three together. I think they're hilarious. So, and you know, we all know that Lethal and Joe will be great. But it's like, this didn't need to be here.
All right. Here's the thing, Dan. I'm trying so hard not to be a negative Nancy. I'm trying so hard to be positive. And 9 out of 10 times, Dynamite and AEW delivers what we want. But the honeymoon phase is over. You know, I'm going to nitpick where we need to nitpick because I want this promotion to strive. I want this promotion to do well in the long run. And if they do stupid shit, I'm going to call them out for this. Now,
yeah,
how many times do we complain when other promotions start mixing in stuff and doing all this stuff and it's stuff that has nothing to do with the pay-per-view that we're watching this week?
Yeah,
that is
I
my
agree.
Issue.
I agree exactly. When it was done, I went, why? Why was this on here? These guys aren't involved in the show at all. You need to push this show. You should not be wasting 1 second.
Especially, dude. Okay, how long did this promo go? Like, what, 2 minutes? We could have had these 2 minutes to have a profile on who the fuck the Rainmaker is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't even think this is on Blood and Guts. I mean, Joe is out.
Look, I know they're trying to get an ROH pay-per-view in the next few months. Fantastic. But until you have a date, let's be a little more tranquilo.
Okay. So, the show is definitely not doing well at this point. So, I think we got a commercial. We come back. Tony's in the ring. He brings out Christian. Christian's going to explain his actions from last week when he attacked Jungle Boy after the Young Bucks regained the tag championship in the three-way. Oh, people, of course, booing him out of the building as he comes out. He looked great. He was dressed the perfect way to kind of still look really good, but still look like a dick. He was really good. And like, this was promo of the night, I thought. He said he could stand there all night until these people shut up. So they just, of course, continue to boo him. He said, I know the people of Milwaukee aren't very smart, so I'll give you one more chance. He goes, it's rude of you to make me talk over you, so I'd appreciate some decorum. And then I love it. And then he just loses and goes, shut your damn mouth. He was great. He said, you didn't think I was going to allow Jungle Boy to eliminate me from the Casino Battle Royal last month and get away with it, did you? And Tony Schiavone says, well, you know, that seems kind of petty. And Christian said, it is petty. But what was even more bothersome to me was the reaction and of each and every one of you when I got eliminated. He goes, I'm a legend in this business, and I deserve more respect than being cheered when I get eliminated from a battle royal. And Jungle Boy cost me a massive roster bonus. I love those three words together. Massive roster bonus, he said. He goes, you eliminated me, and you ruined my fast track to the world title shot, so yeah, it pissed me off. He goes, but it did get me thinking that if maybe people love Jungle Boy so much, I should do a little background check out of it. And at this point, everybody's super pissed off. They're doing the shut the fuck up chant. And Christian says he decided against his better judgment to go on social media and find out more about Jungle Boy. He goes, what a cesspool social media has become considering the wrestling aspect of it. I know that line was great. He says, you have these people out here tweeting away like your opinion matters and like you know what goes on in this business or behind that curtain. He goes, you know nothing of my business. He goes, I don't need your comments about who I should be wrestling or what title I should be going for or who I should align myself with. He goes, I'm one of the best to stand in this ring, and I've got it figured out, thanks. And he goes, that would be like me coming to the drive-through window and telling you to do your job. So he's on fire here. He's just fantastic. So Tony tries to talk and make a point, but Christian said, no, I'm not done. And that, if he interrupted again, he would tear that earring right out of Tony's ear. I like that, because no one really ever talks about the earring, but he mentioned it. I thought that was great.
That's good.
He goes, in my research, I found out Jungle Boy is pretty darn talented, and I thought I'd hitch my wagon to that until it ran dry. He goes, I thought it would be easy. Give him a pep talk, stand at ringside, do minimal work, and cash the big fat paycheck. And he goes, you think I came back to elevate younger talent? He goes, that's bullshit. He goes, I came back to make a ton of money, and that's the only reason. He goes, I hear other people out here complaining about their paychecks. He goes, I got a little advice for you. And I would take that's a little subtle MJF dig there.
Yes.
He goes, since you can't afford it, this is free advice and take it while you can. He goes, try having a match that people talk about more than a week after it happened. And this is fantastic. He goes, I'm talking the type of the match where the parents actually sit their kids down and make them watch it over and over again. The type of match that changes the industry. The type of match they name pay-per-views after. Obviously talking about the TLC match. He goes, then you can be on my pay grade. And until then, eat my crumbs and enjoy it. What a great line that was. I'm going to start saying that to people. Hey, eat my crumbs and enjoy it. That was so great. Yep. He goes, Jungle Boy, I said I was going to recoup that money from you. You do have the talent, but you don't have the killer instinct. And I saw that happening. And he goes, this is the final nail in the coffin. The one time I don't give you that pre-match speech or I don't walk down here with you and you guys lose the titles. He goes, the gravy train has ran dry. And it's like the old saying, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. He says, so now I have to get my hands dirty, and that pisses me off. And then Tony called him on something that he had done on social media directed towards Jungle Boy's mom and his sister. And they actually showed a quick clip from at the pay-per-view when he was confronting the mom and the sister who were at ringside. They're giving him the finger. And Christian's yelling at them, going, yeah, you raised a piece of shit. So they go back. Christian says he thinks she's really mad because she saw her knight in shining armor walking away. I'm just like, oh, my God. He goes, I think she's sweet on Christian Cage. She wanted me to be Jungle Boy's father. She goes, and even though he looked at me as a father figure, I never wanted to be his father. He goes, you have a father, but your father is dead. And then the crowd, oh, they're losing, they're booing and everything. And he goes, and that's probably a good thing because he would be embarrassed and ashamed to see how you turned out and seeing you crumpled up like a ball and refusing to carry on the fight. He goes, enjoy your retirement at 25. Stay gone. So he's just ripped him to shreds. Well, this brings out Luchasaurus, not Jungle Boy, which is kind of weird. I thought, why wouldn't Jungle Boy come out? So
selling the injury, I guess he's not, of the concerto.
I guess that's it. You're right. He's selling it. But Luchasaurus is there. And Christian's like, hey, man, I've been trying to find you. I've been trying to talk to you. And Luchasaurus is having none of it. He just grabs him right by the throat. And Christian's like, we need to talk. We need to talk. He goes, but not in front of these losers. And he said, remember what happened to Marco, which was kind of weird. Marco stunned. And so, but Luchasaurus, he's choking him. And Christian said, please, you're hurting me. He goes, he kept saying to him, you're a son to me. And he's obviously just trying to get him to stop choking him. And eventually Luchasaurus lets him go. And Christian kind of goes up to him and just really quietly whispers in his ear so he couldn't hear him. And then he gave him a hug, which was like a totally forced hug, like this, you know, it was totally insincere looking hug from Christian. And then Luchasaurus left, and that was the end of the segment. So, Yeah, pretty fantastic. I mean, but again, I don't know why it was on this show because it doesn't have anything to do
Agreed.
With the pay-per-view.
I will give him credit. Fantastic
promo. But again, why was it on this show? Why isn't this next week? Like this? Yeah. Why isn't this on next week's show? This could have waited. This could have easily waited a week. Look at how much time, again, to our point, you could have had pushing the Japanese guys here.
I love how passionate you are because our videos aren't on, but I can tell you're banging on stuff.
Yeah, I'm hitting the table. Yeah.
Okay, shit, so here's the thing. I loved this, just like you. And just like you, why? Number one, 20-minute promo, pretty long, especially when you're trying to push a pay-per-view. I do understand that you wanted to hit it while the rod was hot, as they say, right? Like, because this just happened last week. You want to push the story forward. I will give them the leeway for that. But it was a little long when you could have been pushing and explaining to us who the fuck that Rainmaker guy is, who the fuck that Hikulea guy is.
Right after
who the
you fuck said that, it was a little long.
Yeah, who the fuck that El Fantasmo guy is, right? Like, they could have been explaining to us this stuff. That's my one major nitpick about this. Having said that, this was incredible. This was so good. This was, like, old school with that new school twist. And the new school twist being, like, bringing up the fact that, you know, Luke Perry is deceased. Bringing back... just like that shoot work type of stuff. Those and this appealed
but then old as the hills. Hey, I think your mom likes me. Oh, that's old as forever, right? That's old as forever. Oh, it was great.
Exactly. Like all Christian needed was like a picture of his mom on his trunks, right? Like in that like
right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, no, so good. This was great. Really good. And, you know what? I'm gonna forgive AEW for the length and the placement of this, just because it was that good.
Okay, have you finished talking? I don't know, because I can't hear you.
I love... Okay, so anyone that's listening, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the hot Toronto summer, the hot boys summer that we're having, Dan and I are having, but our connection is super bad. So we've had to cut this show so many times. It's almost funny. I'm almost nervous that we're going to be like 10 beers deep by the time that we finish this show.
and the show is going to be 12 hours long and you're going to have to make 165 different edits or something.
Exactly. Which is fine. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, here we are. Here we are.
So anyways, we both agree. Great stuff. I mean, one of the best promos I've ever heard Christian do, but really didn't need... Honestly, I even the strike while the iron is hot angle, to me, I think this could have waited another week. You mean you could have promoted it throughout this show that he was going to respond or, you know, I don't think it really needed to be. It might have been nice to have a couple of weeks of what's Christian going to say? What's Christian going to say?
Oh, maybe. So. Yeah. Anticipation is a hell of a thing in wrestling, right?
Yeah. So anyways, it was great. Great segment. So after this, they recapped the Darby Allin against Bobby Fish match, which was on Rampage last week. And then they cut to the Bucks, who are bragging about winning the titles. Kyle O'Reilly is with them. Matt says, all is right in the world. Nick says, we are the first two-time AEW champs. Matt says, people have been asking if we'll be on Forbidden Door. He goes, well, since we are the locksmith that created the key that opened the damn door in the first place, I think it's a safe bet we'll be there. And then they're asking Kyle how he was. Kyle said he was far from good because first Darby takes out Fish and Sting should be locked up for what he did to him, completely unprovoked. He goes, my hands are registered as deadly weapons or I'd sue his ass. He goes, but at Forbidden Door, we have the Bullet Club with Hukuleo and El Fantasmo to team with you guys to go against Sting and his cronies at Forbidden Door. Matt said we should be back in the Bullet Club, where we would be back in the Bullet Club for one night. And we are going to super kick down the Forbidden Door. And Nick mocked Sting and yelled, it's showtime.
Yeah. All right. His cronies. So this is the match. We're going to go through the card later, but I wanted to bring up this point right now. The match is the Young Bucks, El Fantasmo, and Hikuleo versus Darby Allin, Sting. Do you know who the cronies are? Hiromu Takahashi and Shingo Tagaki.
Yeah, Takagi and Takahashi. Those, yeah, I do know those guys because they are fairly prevalent.
But my point
New
is,
Japan.
That's
yeah,
exactly
but
it.
Who else does?
This is LIJ. This is like, oh my God.
And
they literally had
edit.
Zero interaction on TV. They've literally like, oh, so many issues with this.
Yeah, it's, and it's honestly, it's not a really particularly compelling match. Like,
you know what?
And
it's not.
And it's another three-way. It's another three-way.
But it's a 4-on-4. So it's an 8-man tag. But
okay.
Yeah, but like you literally just throw out names. You don't even throw out names. You just say they're trying to sell
this
us
one
on
of
the
anything.
Bucks.
Totally reeks of just being thrown together.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
completely.
That's it. That's the thing, right? They're trying to sell us on the fact that the Bucks are going to go up against Darby Allin and Sting. Who cares about the other four?
Yeah, which again, you know, but that's the thing, and this is always an issue sometimes when promotions work together, is that sometimes you can't, you know, you don't get the talent you need, and this is an example. This match, like you say, no one cares about the Japanese guys in this match.
Yeah, unfortunately, like no casual fan. Let's be honest. Like this is the type of match I get a chubby on, right? Like, Takahashi and Shingo are just two of my favorite. Like anyone from LIJ, you can throw in there, and I'll be happy.
Okay, so well, the good part about it though, at least it was promoting something on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
The All-Atlantic Tournament match was next with Malakai Black against Penta Obscura. So we needed to have this one because this leads into the match at the pay-per-view. So, of course, these guys just start brawling. Penta's diving right away. He did a wicked-looking backstabber at one point for a near fall. They fell out to the outside. They brawled for a while. Black was in control when they went to pick and pick. Black actually did the Inoki Octopus while they were in the commercial break, which was kind of cool. Black did the moonsault off the middle turnbuckle to the floor at one point. Then he did the double foot stomp for a near fall. Penta and his obsession with that crazy friggin' stuffed pile driver. He tried it several times in this match, and he did it off the top. He did the friggin' stuffed pile driver off the top, but it was great how they sold it, that it was a move that didn't really benefit him because he couldn't capitalize and get the pin. It was nice to see one of those crazy moves get treated like how it should. Like, that wasn't too good for the guy giving it either, right?
Yeah.
So that was good to see. And he did eventually crawl over and try to cover, but by that time, obviously, Black is into it, and he puts his foot on the bottom rope. Crowd was loving this match, and it was. It was a good match. They were doing the This Is Awesome chant. And Black eventually lands the back heel kick, and he gets the pin. So we have to get the rest of the guys that are in this match down here. So Pac comes running down. He gets in Black's face. And then Miro appears on the big screen and cuts one of his awesome, great Miro God promos. He goes, "My God, a week after I called you out, this All-Atlantic title appeared." He goes, "Is this your apology to me?" Like he's talking to God and not even... It's great. He goes, "All I want is my God, my gold, and my gorgeous wife." He goes, "But you couldn't help, could you?" He goes, "Good. Because I will walk through the forbidden door, dragging all the bastards and the pagans with me, and I will redeem them all." So to Black, Pac, and Ishii this Sunday at Forbidden Door, when I send you to meet your maker, you tell that coward the Redeemer wants to talk. And then in classic Shiki style, he spit.
Yeah.
Loved it. I loved it. At least this pushes a match that we're going to see on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, you know, overall, I think this match might be the match that I'm looking forward to the most on the pay-per-view. Miro has just been on fuego for the past God knows how long, and it's just so much fun. Dude, I know we're going to go through the card at the end of the show, because this is the free show for the week, but Miro and Ishii in the same fucking ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. That is totally going to be highlight of the night, man. And if they're smart, they milk it. They milk it. Because crowd's going to go nuts to see those two get in there with each other. And it would be I mean, I suppose this is wishful thinking, but man, it would be wicked if they could even do a short program with each other after this or coming out of this.
Agreed.
That would be so wickedly great. Right?
I would love
it. It wouldn't even need titles. Like, you don't, like, you know, you wouldn't even need it. Maybe, do you think, oh no, we'll talk about, I guess we'll predict.
Right, we'll talk about it after. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it afterwards. Okay. Okay, so they took a break. They came back. They had a quick little Wardlow recap thing again, which wasn't really necessary because nothing to do with the pay-per-view. Wardlow says he always gets what he wants, and if I don't take it, he goes, the only thing I want is the TNT title. I've been waiting 3 years. I don't take orders anymore. I told you I'm coming for everything that I deserve. Scorpio Sky, when you are healed and ready, I will gladly welcome you to Wardlow's world. Again, cool, but didn't really need to be in there.
Yep.
Okay, next up, this was a surprise. I had no idea. Silas Young, what a surprise for me.
I saw this earlier in the day, and I'm like, I didn't Silas know about this. Fucking Young, yes. I was so happy to see him.
Yeah, me too. Like, he was always one of my favorites in Ring of Honor because he was so good at playing the old school snarly fuck.
The
like,
last he's one real of man. Guys. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And he was one of those guys that he looked so ornery, like so old school ornery and stuff. And yeah, he was always that great staple in Ring of Honor that never really moved up the ladder, but he always had great matches out of him. And you could always count on him to use him for angles and stuff. So yeah, pretty cool. So yeah, we get Silas Young against Hangman Page. Adam Cole comes out to do the commentary. This was a good match. I mean, in terms of the match itself, technically good. I mean, Silas has always, I think, been somewhat underrated with his wrestling.
Agreed.
They went all over the place. Silas was giving him the heavy chops. Page gave him a wicked lariat on the outside. He also did the moonsault to the outside, which took us to break. And right as they came back out of the commercial break and pick and pick, Page did a superplex off the top. He also did the lariat off the top for a near fall. Silas did this great backbreaker into a clothesline move, which I thought was awesome. Page got a German lariat. A German suplex and a lariat. And then the buckshot lariat to win the match. So I enjoyed it. I thought the match itself was a great little match. And much like you, I actually popped seeing Silas Young again.
Yeah. I love, like, a lot of people who don't know who Silas Young really is, we're kind of comparing him, like, Benjamin Button's Jake the Snake Roberts, right? Like,
I could certainly see Jake Roberts. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like, yeah. I loved it. It's just so funny. But yeah, no, this match was a lot of fun. It was exactly what it needed to be. It just sometimes, you know, it's kind of sucks sometimes. Like, if you know these guys like we do, right?
Yeah,
they make their debut and they get the L, right?
Right. Oh, I know, because really, I mean, if you came up with the right story and stuff with Silas, he's great. He's
Dude,
really great.
Can you imagine the last... Like the cowboy shit versus real man shit. Can you imagine
actually,
the promotion?
Actually, you're right. If you built him up right, that would be friggin' hilarious. The promos would probably be really good. Yeah, and it would make sense. Yep. Just obviously since the match was over, that means we got to have some shenanigans. Cole runs right down from commentary with the mic. He says, is everybody ready for story time with Adam Cole? But before he could, he didn't get to say anything else. Jay White comes out and he says, you know, I apologize for interrupting story time. He goes, but I feel I owe you an explanation. He said, as the catalyst of pro wrestling, that he was responsible for all of this. And he goes, and that means I'm responsible to make Forbidden Door as big as it can be. And he goes, as much as I would like to make it about the Bullet Club and the Undisputed Elite, he goes, and do a favor for a good friend. He goes, my opponent at Forbidden Door can still not be you because you lost to him. And he points at Paige. And then he goes, twice. So, he left Adam Cole just there on the ramp and he walked down to the ring. He was proclaiming that all we want to know is he wants to know who's facing him at the Forbidden Door for his IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He says, Hangman, it won't be you. and Paige slapped him across the face, and that was it. They started brawling. Adam Cole runs down, but Paige takes him out. But then just as Paige was about to give White the buckshot, Cole run back in again. He low blows Paige. Jay White continued to beat him down while Cole looked lovingly. He had love in his eyes looking at the IWGP title belt, kind of just distracted him. They teased he was actually going to hit White with that belt, but then right as he was going to go for it, White caught him and looked at him, and Cole froze. Like, it was quite well done. But Cole said, no, pick up him. I'm going to cork him with the belt. But then Okada comes out to make the save. Crowd goes nuts. They definitely know who this guy is. We don't need a vignette here. This crowd knows who this guy is. He went after both White and Cole. The crowd's chanting, holy shit. Then Paige joins in and helps him. And then Paige and Okada kind of face off. But then White and Cole come back to attack. They eventually get run off. And then Okada and Paige are left in the ring. I'm not sure what's going on with these guys. Obviously, Jay White has got the match against the mystery opponent.
It's been announced.
Sure where this was leading.
It was announced last night. Yeah, it was announced last night that it is indeed a four-way person match.
You think that's the mystery opponent?
No, it's been announced. So it's Jay White versus Okada versus Cole versus Paige. It's official.
They didn't announce that on the show, did they?
No, they announced it last night media.
Oh, okay. So that's just been announced today?
Yep.
So there is no... So who is it? Adam Cole, Paige, Jay White, and Okada?
Yep. It's exactly what we
feared. So there is no Okada against mystery opponent.
Yeah, no. It's Okada.
Jay White against mystery opponent. Yep. There's no Jay White against mystery opponent.
Correcto. So here's...
Oh, no, sorry. That's Zack Sabre Jr. Sorry.
It's Zack Sabre.
Getting everything all confused here. Sorry, never mind.
Yeah, it's okay. We've drank enough already. Because we're taking forever to fucking record.
Between the internet and all the other screw-ups.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's my thing about this match. Two things. Number one, they devalued half the guys in this match in this promo when Jay White basically said, it ain't going to be you, Hangman Page, for whatever reason. It ain't going to be you, Cole, because you lost to him twice. But yet, he still gets a shot at the title. Okay, that's gripe number one. Yep. Gripe number two, how many weeks did we know this pay-per-view was going to happen? How long have we known that this pay-per-view was going to happen? They easily could have been teasing Okada will appear at Forbidden Door. Okada's going to do something at Forbidden Door. And then this appearance would have been just as great, just as fun. But if you're going to hitch your wagon to a horse, it should be Okada, right? So, I don't know. It's kind of dumb that, because even last week, we were like, what's Okada going to do? I understand they had the match at Dominion, but like, I feel that they could have done so much better at promoting the show in general if they hyped the fact that Okada... You know, the one of the biggest, arguably the second biggest star from New Japan the past couple decades, you know, it was going to appear at Forbidden Door.
It's true. And the proof was in the pudding when the crowd popped huge. They know who he is, right? All you had to do to tease this whole thing is that Okada will be at Forbidden Door. Okada will be at Forbidden Door. That's all you'd have to do, right?
Yep.
So that is weird.
Yeah. That's exactly. Weird. But here we go. We get the match. We know what the match is going to be. Again, we'll go through the card at the end of the show. Let's try to get through the rest of the show before we're like 10 beers deep.
I know. Jesus. Okay. So my favorite part of the show was next. Fuck. We had Tony with Jade and the baddies, but no Red Velvet because she's hurt. Tony said there's an injury to Red Velvet. Jade grabs the mic and says, we can sit here and cry about Velvet, or we can understand the show must go on. And she goes, and I'm still undefeated. Kira Hogan's there. She said, Statlander, your alien-looking ass might think this is real funny because Red isn't here because of you, but the joke is on you. Okay, look, the alien gimmick has been dropped. Stop fucking talking about it in promos. These guys are the worst. Every single promo they do, they make an alien joke. It's like, it's done. It's over. Drop it. Okay. They carry on. Stokely says, I have some breaking news here. I want a drum roll. And he looked at Shivani, and Shivani kind of went. Stokely said, we're looking for a new baddie. And if you want in, you have to do three things. You have to use the hashtag baddie search. You have to tell us in 140 characters or less why you should be a baddie. And then Jade interrupted and said, keep it 100-y. And not everyone can grace the stage like us. She needs to be a top-notch bitch. And Stokely said, my sisters in Christ, keep the photos PG. And Jade said, cut the shit as she left, echoing the sentiment felt by me whenever I see her segments. I wish they really would cut this shit.
It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
Okay, then we're moving on. Tony is, Yeah, I guess it was a commercial break here. Tony, they come back. Tony's with Statlander and Athena now, since they were the subject of that. The name Athena, I'm really surprised that, like, you know, especially not modern day names nowadays. I usually know someone. I was trying to think. I do not know one person named Athena. The only connection to the name Athena, like, in fact, for me, anytime I hear, and I was almost going to make you play the song, was a later Who song called Athena. That's the only thing I think of. Do you know anyone named Athena?
No, the only Athena I can think of is the Tomb of Athena from Battlestar Galactica.
Is that the original, the 70s, or the new one?
The new one.
New one. Okay. So, yeah, it's interesting pick because I guess it does stand out because, like I said, I don't know anyone either, and I always think of that Who song, and it's certainly, and I love the Who, and it's,
I know strippers named Athena.
Well, that, I guess, yeah, that would work. There's probably strippers named Amber Moon, too, I would guess.
Probably.
So, anyways, as we digress, doing what we shouldn't be doing with crappy internet. Tony's with Statlander and Athena. Statlander does this fake interest and says, oh, my God, an opening in the baddies. And Athena says, yeah, we can be sexy just like them. And Statlander says, you can get the opportunity to stand by Jade and see what she smells like. And Athena says, or we get the chance to be a top-level bitch. Statlander said, no, but seriously, it is sad to hear about Red's situation. And Athena said, your lace front must be fronting if you think we're going to back down. He goes, it doesn't matter if you get 20 baddies. We're going to thwart every one of those hussies you throw in our path. And Statlander said, no one can get in our way. Stokely learned that last week. So go ahead. Do your little baddie search. We have a babe with power in Willow Nightingale. And Athena ended up by saying, Jade, cut the shit.
Yep, there was a match after this. Let's get to that.
And again, none of this had anything to do with the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I would dispute that this is even worse because this is so low on the totem pole that this should definitely not have been in this show.
This could have been a Rampage thing, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. That seems to be the – I like Rampage as a spot for her. That's where she should be. I don't think she should be on Dynamite.
Because you watch Dynamite every week.
But anyway, I watch Rampage too. Okay, next up, the women's match for tonight. It's Marina Shafir against Toni Storm. And hey, they actually recapped what happened leading into this match. They actually did a little vignette. Imagine that. Nyla Rose is with Marina for some reason. I guess they were showing actually why she was with them. This was pretty good, actually. I thought Shafir looked better in this match than she has in previous matches. They did try a lot of mat stuff at first. Storm did this one great spot because Shafir has the MMA background where she kind of just stayed on her back and was kind of like kicking her legs up at her, pretending to kind of like, I'm just going to lie on my back and fight you, MMA fighter. And she was laughing. She was kind of laughing at her. But then Shafir gets angry, throws Storm to the outside. Nyla gives her a senton outside. That leads to pick and pick. Shafir dominates in the break. They are basically standing and slugging it out when they come back from the commercial. Storm gives her a DDT off the steps on the outside. Storm also did a German, gave her a running hip attack in the corner, which is one of Toni Storm's big moves. She always makes it look very nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Storm rolled her up and got the pin and the win. Of course, though, shenanigans. Nyla attacked her right after the match, but that ended when Thunder Rosa ran down to make the save. And Storm actually grabbed the belt and corked Nyla with it. But this did leave her and Thunder Rosa facing off at the end. And even though they are going to fight for the title, it did seem respectful.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Nothing, anything to add? Yes? No?
We're getting Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. It'll be a good match, but sure.
Yeah. But what?
I just said, but sure.
Oh, are you cut out, maybe?
You see, you pimple, like, nerd. We won this time. I love it.
Yeah, hang on a second here. It says connection lost. There was a problem with the network. Yeah, no fucking. There we go. It's annoying because it's just these little blips. It's like comes and goes, you know? It's not
I'm
like
leaving
it goes
this
out
blip on the show for the record.
It's like taunting us. Okay, Sting and Darby was up next here. Darby said, Undisputed Elite, you saw what we did to Bobby Fish. Kyle, you say you're not medically cleared, but I don't believe it for one second. I just think you're too afraid to show up at Forbidden Door. And he goes, so this is what we have here. The Bucks and El Fantasmo and Hagalo and me and Sting. He goes, you think we'll come alone? No, we have two members of our own. You want to get crazy? We can get crazy with Shingo and Hurumu. And he goes, one by one, Undisputed Elite, we're going to take you out. It continues this Sunday at Forbidden Door. Sting said, we're going to keep kicking bodies down the hill until there's nobody left. And at Forbidden Door, it's showtime.
Yep, showtime indeed.
It is, but will be anyone be watching because they don't know who any of these guys are?
We'll get to that when we talk about the card. I think there's a lot to say about this entire card.
Okay, so at this point, we went into I loved Excalibur had to do so much here in running down three different things, and I loved it that when they came back that the other guys actually teased them.
Yeah.
Like the other, both Shivani and JR, made cracks about, ooh, take a breath, Excalibur. You need to rest there, buddy.
I think it's turning into a rib where they make him do this and every show.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too. Because, some of it's crazy. Okay, so Rampage this week, we got Hook versus the DKC. We have Andrade against Rey Fénix. We have Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez in a tag team match. And we have Jeff Cobb versus Cash Wheeler, which actually that sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
I'm very curious to see how those two match up. Okay, then they ran through most of the card for the pay-per-view. Do you want to save that for later?
Yeah, we'll save that for later.
Boris, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, so
yeah,
we'll do it at the end of the show. Okay, At one point there, when they talked about Andrade and Rey Fénix, they ran a little promo with Fénix and Alex Abahantes there. Fénix says, do you remember when Andrade, he took away my chance 2 weeks ago to be AEW World Champion? And Alex said, yeah, with the low blow and the Battle Royal. And they actually showed clips. It was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Andrade said, he's still crying about the Battle Royal. He goes, I have other things to do. Fénix said, when you came here, you wanted the Lucha Brothers to work for you, but we don't work for nobody. So why not you and I one-on-one on Rampage? And Andrade basically agrees. So that was that match there. Okay,
Speaking of Andrade, Mox and Tanahashi will
face each other at Forbidden Door. So there's that drama against the unlikely team of Jericho and Lance Archer. That was very bizarre. In fact, I got confused. I totally forgot it was going to be Archer. When he came out, Jericho came out with Sammy G and Ty Conti. I thought it was going to be Jericho and Sammy G in the match. That shows you how much I thought about Lance Archer there. Regal comes down to do commentary. This one, of course, as you'd expect, lots of crazy brawling right out of the top. Mox and Jericho take to the floor, so that leaves Archer and Tanahashi in the ring. It's all over the place. As they go to pick and pick for the break, Archer's actually beating up on Moxley. And when they come back, it was totally switched up with Moxley chopping Jericho. Jericho went for the Walls of Jericho on Tanahashi at one point, but he rolled him up for a near fall. Mox, of course, was diving all over the place. Tanahashi got the high fly flow on Jericho, but Jericho rolled him up when he landed and put the Walls of Jericho on him again. Moxley came in, gave Jericho a cutter to break up the walls, which looked pretty cool. And the finish, Mox got the paradigm shift on Archer. He tagged in Tanahashi, who did the high fly flow one more time and got the pin. And then after that, we have to have shenanigans. So Eddie Kingston runs down. He attacks Jericho. Wheeler Yuta comes down. And then even Minoru Suzuki comes out as well, which got a big response out of the crowd. And then at this whole time, these guys are all brawling and carry on. Mox and Tanahashi are just like standing. They're like standing in the ring, totally like just staring at each other. They have to kind of, it was weird. It's like they have to kind of sell this weird stare down while all these other guys are scrapping. Minoru Suzuki went after Wheeler Yuta. Homano ran out as well. The rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society ran out. Santana and Ortiz came out. So everybody's out there. Moxley and Tanahashi are still having their kind of just staring at each other in the ring. A very weird ending to the show. Honestly, I was very surprised on the board when I saw a lot of people saying this was a good go-home show, because it wasn't for me. In fact, it turned me off the show. And I have to say, as excited as I was when this was initially announced, I'm not that excited anyway. There's three ways, four ways, tags. There's only kind of two singles matches. I mean, I know some of it's going to be great, but I have to admit at this point, it's not like I'm like, holy shit, show of the year.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
I don't think that's happening.
This is why I said this was like the most WWE setup to a show ever, because I think that while the setup leaves a lot to be desired, I think the show itself is going to be fantastic. And I agree. Like, overall, this wasn't the best go-home show, but I feel like AEW really just put... They were up against the wall and kind of going uphill with a lot of stuff. The quick turnaround, trying to introduce new people, they kind of fumbled at introducing who these people are, why we should care to the casual fan. Like, all of us are super happy. Not all of us, but a lot of people know who these people are, you know, especially if you're listening to these shows. So, but we have to remember, it's bigger than just us. It's bigger than our corner of the internet wrestling community, right? So it's kind of one of those things where we have to remember, like, they're still trying to sell a pay-per-view to the casual fan. And unfortunately, I think for those people, this show gets a D at best. Like,
yeah,
they didn't really do
absolutely
much to sell
the
pay-per-view.
This sells the show to anyone, really. They're just, especially casual, like, your hardcores are dialed in. Hardcores were dialed in from the moment it was announced, right? So that this is the thing. Yeah, this is definitely not. And I don't think they really, maybe that's the issue. They don't intend this to be a show that brings on fans. Didn't Tony Khan say something about perhaps this was a thank you gift to the hardcore for being such supporters?
Yeah, so, and that's, I get that. But at the same time, let's look at the ratings last week. I'm so curious to see what the ratings are for this week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting number. Yeah, it was a weird one for sure. So let's go through it then. We might as well go through here.
Yeah,
we'll start with the amazing match that was announced for the buy-in.
Oh my god, this buy-in is going to be amazing. All right, the buy-in is going to be Max Caster and the Gun Club versus the
No. Ass Boys.
The Ass Boys. The Ass Boys. The Boys of Ass versus the New Japan Pro Wrestling Dojo's Kevin Knight, DKC, Alex Coughlin, and Yuya Uemura.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah, that makes me throw down my money in order to pay-per-view. I really get the impression that with AEW that they don't – it's almost like they think, well, you know what? We've got our people. They're going to watch. They don't really – like, well, then again, though, WWE doesn't do it either. Like, I haven't seen anyone use a buy-in show or a pre-show properly in decades. Like, I don't see anything where it's like this show is about getting you to tune in.
Yeah.
And getting you to fork over that money. Like, I know on the pay-per-view channel that they'll probably show whatever special they've devised that's going to show after Rampage this week. But, yeah, that if you're going to, I don't know. I mean, it'll probably be a fun little match, but it doesn't, it's not going to inspire anyone to buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah. All right. The main card, we have Swerve in Our Glory, Shane Strickland and Keith Lee versus El Desperado and Kanemaru.
Let's see. Where do you really, what's, you must have a, yeah, you must have a different list. I don't see that match.
Yeah, I have the most up-to-date list.
Okay, so sorry, run that by me again, because what match is that?
Swerve in Our Glory, Shane Strickland and Keith Lee versus All El right. Desperado and Kanemaru from Suzuki Goon.
Oh, okay, that has potential to be good. I wonder if that'll be the opening match. I didn't even hear about that one.
Yep, it's
interesting.
Yep.
Okay, well, I would suspect that the AEW guys are going to win that one.
I would assume so, especially this match. All right.
Yeah.
We have the winner takes all match for the ROH and IWGP Tag Team Championships, FTR versus Great O'Connor and Jeff Cobb, the United Empire versus Roppongi Vice.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's for both sets of titles. I mean, I would love for FTR. Well, FTR already have the Ring of Honor ones, right?
Yep.
So yeah, I would love to see them win the IWGP tag titles. But I could also see them putting it on maybe Cobb and O'Conn. I don't know about Roppongi Vice. That's a weird one because both titles are on the line. So it's like if they put them on FTR, well, when does FTR go to Japan to defend them?
Exactly. Exactly, exactly right now. Well, here's the thing, right? They're kind of in the clear because July and the beginning of August are going to be reserved for G1. So they don't have to go to Japan basically until maybe mid-August, set up to King of Pro Wrestling or that card in October, right?
Interesting. That's a weird one because with both of those titles, I don't know. I think it would be great for FTR to get the IWGP, but then I could also see Cobb and O'Conn winning both as well.
I can see Roppongi Vice winning it just because.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Well, they have the history. They've had it before. The IWGP tag titles, I think they've had before. I don't know if they've ever had the Ring of Honor titles.
I don't think so.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that one should be a great match. Like, all six of those guys are going to work really hard. That match will be very good.
Oh, it's going to be a great match. FTR right now, like I said, Dax just being the wrestler of the year at this point. It's just, and FTR being the tag team belt collectors. I'm just loving it.
Okay, next.
All right. The next match I have on this list is Eddie Kingston, Shota Umino, and Wheeler Yuta versus Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, this is going to be, I mean, it's funny because you have a couple of guys that are straight ahead wrestlers. Then you got a lot of brawlers.
And you have Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
I love him, but it's like, and this kid is great. Like, he can take an ass kicking, but it's like, you know, one of these things is not like the others, right?
Yeah. 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 This is a weird one as well. I would think in this one that Jericho and his team are going to get the nod. I really think so. Especially going into Blood and Guts, right?
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Blood and Guts is literally the next show after on Wednesday. And I'm pretty sure Kingston and his people are going to get the win. So I can see Jericho getting hit that last laugh at Forbidden Door.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, exactly. Blood and Guts is when Jericho and the boys are going to get their comeuppance. So I could see this as a win leading into that, right?
Did I tell you I'm going to Blood and Guts?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
it's excellent. In Detroit. So I'll be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if Joe's busy, I guess I should report in with you next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
All right. We have the four-way for the All-Atlantic Championship. Pac versus Miro versus Ishii versus Malakai Black.
Well, honestly, I mean, as much as I'd like to see Ishii win it, he's not going to win it. I think Miro, honestly, this has got to be the return of Miro to prominence. Let him win this first new title. And you know what? Let him keep it for a long time and keep up his weird prayers to God and love to his gorgeous wife. And yeah,
I think it'll be great. I think the promos would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's back. He's healthy. I think, and again, he's someone that's established within the AEW world, former TNT champion. I could totally see him winning this.
And I can also see him making a trip or two to Japan or wherever he needs to go, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would be great. Yeah. Maybe we get a match with him and Ishii in Japan.
Exactly. That's what I'm kind of hoping at this point.
Yeah.
All right. We have the IWGP United States Championship. The match that Dan Demeth-Lavransky is looking forward to the most. Your champion, Will Ospreay, versus Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, obviously, Ospreay is not going to drop the title to Orange Cassidy. This one all depends on how creative they can be. And, I mean, I still don't like the idea of Ospreay being in there with such a comedy guy. But the thing is, if it's booked properly, I mean, if Ospreay went in there and just destroyed him, I would friggin' love it. Like, if he literally went in there and wouldn't let Orange Cassidy do nothing and just destroyed him the whole match, I would love it. But if they're going to have let Orange get his spots in there, which they probably will because he's the one that's going to stay behind. If it's booked the right way, you could probably get an entertaining match.
No,
but I think see Cassidy winning.
Yeah, I don't either. I think Juice Robinson is going to come out at some point in this match because of the whole I'm still the champ. You know, fuck you, Will Ospreay.
Him and Ospreay. Yeah, right. Yeah. And the announcers did even talk about that on the on Dynamite. They even mentioned Robinson and all that. So
there you go. The Young Bucks and Bullet Club's El Fantasmo and Hikuleo versus Darby Allin, Sting, Hiromu Takahashi, and Shingo Takagi from LIJ.
Now, are you old enough to get, or young, I don't know, are you old enough to get the dudes with attitude thing?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, okay, wasn't sure, because that was one of those insane things they came up with in WCW. For those of you that don't know, as soon as I saw it on the screen, I started laughing, and I also thought, oh, he's so stupid to associate him with that title, because it was really ridiculous. This is who the dudes of attitude were. This is from WCW. And this is like when they were feuding, the horsemen were running wild. So Sting puts his group together, calls them the Dudes of Attitude. This is his friggin' team.
This is the greatest. For the record, before you say the people, this is the biggest mishmash of wrestlers since WWE's The Union.
So bad. I remember at the time going, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, this is so lame ass. So he's got, okay. I'm just looking at the list here going, holy
dude,
shit.
This is the greatest list ever. Like, I remember most of them except for one wrestler.
They fought against the Horsemen at the Great American Bash 1990. Okay, so Sting put the team together. So you got Sting, Junkyard Dog, who's way past his prime at this point and can hardly do anything. Steiner Brothers, that's cool because they're actually in great shape at this point and can do a lot of crazy stuff.
The next two are the best.
Paul Orndorff. What's that?
I said the next two names are the best, and you just named the one I'm off. And the last one is the one that kills me.
Paul Orndorff, again, on the lower end of the career, things are starting to kind of fall apart for him. Lex Luger, who was horrible from day one and was always horrible and was always just a body. And
this is the name.
Another example of the many guys, giant guys in wrestling that couldn't cut it. El Gigante was the other member of the Dudes with Attitude. He was one of the worst friggin' wrestlers of all time. He was Giant Gonzalez in the WWE. Just horrible. I remember this at the time going, oh, Dudes with Attitude. It's like, no, it's like pathetic bunch of dudes. That's what this is. So there you go. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny they brought it back. I'm sure that was a Tony Khan thing. He probably remembers it and probably dug it when he was a kid, but I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious just because it's like, that's one of my first memories of WCW, to be 100% honest.
Okay.
Yeah, so. So, okay, who's going to win this match? I think it's going to end up being the Bullet Club. All right, the next match is going to be Bryan Danielson's hand-picked choice versus Zack Sabre Jr.
I can't see Zack Sabre losing this. I mean, a mystery opponent is not going to win the title. So, yeah, I'm picking Zack Sabre. And I'm also predicting that whoever the mystery opponent is will be a disappointment.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's the thing, right? I think AEW has... time and time again, like really try to build up these mystery opponents, and oftentimes it ends up being, you know, John Morrison or something. Anyways, AEW Women's World Championship match, Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm. Dan, here's my thing about this match. Why, oh, why isn't someone from Stardom flying in for this match?
Yes, great point. Stardom has a relationship with New Japan. And so does AEW with a few of them. This one is distinctly doesn't involve New Japan, like even in the slightest, really. So it is kind of the odd match out on this. But by the same token, I think it's going to be good.
I think it'll be great.
Toni Storm, when she's in there with a good, solid opponent, is good.
Yeah.
And Thunder Rosa is good and solid. I think it could be one of the best matches on the show. If they're smart, the ladies will really try and make an impression, because that would be something if in a match focused on AEW versus New Japan, and that ended up being the best match. That would certainly say something.
And I know someone out there is yelling at us as they're listening to this saying, Toni Storm fought in Stardom, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
that's great,
she did.
She's not in Stardom right now.
That's right. Exactly. She's not there right now. Exactly.
Yep. All right.
Okay, so does that just leave main event?
Two main events. The IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Jay White, your champion, versus Okada, versus Adam Cole, versus Hangman, Adam Page.
You know, honestly, I don't know if I see anything changing here, especially since Jay White just won it.
Yeah, same.
And then the only one I would think it would go back to would be maybe Okada. I don't think it would go on either of the AEW guys.
Agreed. I don't see anything changing here. Even then, Okada, yeah, he's in the G1, but I know he's going to take some time off when he has a kid. So I think it makes the most logical sense for Jay White to keep the belt. And let's be honest, the other two, nah, there's no way that New Japan would trust them at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And then your main event is for the interim AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jon Moxley.
This, I think, I'm really curious. I mean, they have had matches before and they were usually good, but on the big stage here in North America, I think, again, these guys are going to work super hard. It's going to be great. And you kind of got the brawler with Moxley and the more of the wrestler with Tanahashi. I think this will be great. If they give them time to build it up, it could be a classic a style match. Yeah. I don't really see it going on Tanahashi.
Here's why.
But then again, it is interim. So I mean, maybe because it's almost transitional, but I still think they might want to put it on Moxley.
Here's the thing, and I've thought about this a little bit, and okay, so CM Punk wins, right? He gets
here's
injured.
The thing, which is the cue for it to fucking drop out.
Oh,
I love
my
it.
God.
As soon as you set up your points, it fucking drops out.
I'm leaving
so
this one in.
Funny.
I'm leaving this
honestly,
one in.
Honestly, this wouldn't be nearly as much fun, Boris, if this didn't keep happening. Because it's just so fucking ridiculous.
I love it.
I love it. I seriously, goddamn you, Skype. I'm fucking coming after you.
You know what I love the most about this? Because it's taking us forever to record, we have drank so fucking much.
I know. It's crazy. I gotta go out and get more.
Oh, amazing.
I don't even have enough. I'll be rolling a joint after this as well, so.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'm just leaving this in. It's why even bother at this point? And you know what I love the most? This is the free show of the week, Dan. This is the Jesus. Show that we're trying to convince people to join the Patreon.
No one's going to subscribe. They're going to be, holy fuck, what a bunch of rinky-dink. They can't even friggin' record a show. unbelievable.
Okay, so, dare I say, here's the thing. But here's the thing. Okay. All right. CM Punk wins, right? He gets injured. They choose not to strip him of the title. They choose to bring in an interim AEW champion so that they can have a champion on TV and all that fun stuff, right? So, if Tanahashi wins, he's going to be missing for several weeks because he's busy with the G1. So, I don't see any scenario where Tanahashi wins this belt. And if he does, wow, then what was the point of even doing this interim champ if you're not going to have a champ on TV each and every week?
Yeah, because it's going to be a while still before Punk comes back, right?
Yep, it's going to be a while. And then even then, it's going to be a while for Tanahashi to come back because he's busy with the G1. I don't see him leaving Japan while the G1 is on.
Right, right. So, yeah, I feel the same. I don't see them putting it on Tanahashi because you're right. I forgot the G1 is coming up. You can't have the G1 without him. And it does really make more sense in terms of AEW as well that Moxley would face Punk when he comes back, right?
Yeah, and then you can build up a match with Tanahashi. I think that they will give us that match at some point. Just because.
Yeah. All right, so I mean, I have to say I'm not super pumped going in, but hopefully they'll blow me out of the water, and then when we do the after party, and join us for the after party. That's going to be super fun. Mark Andrada, Boris will be there as well. I will be there as well. Joe, I think, will be buried under drywall, so he will not be there. But the important thing is, Patreons, you can join us, watch the show, give your thoughts. We'll sit up, we'll talk about it. I've booked the next day off work so we can stay up as late as you want, and we'll run through the entire show.
Yep. Here's the cool part. We're trying to be a little more serious, Dan. We're trying to be a little more, be a little more professional, some would say, as this show has like 1,001 cuts. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We have access. So both Mike and I are going to the Tony Khan media call on Friday. So I'm thinking that on Friday, I'm going to, at the Rampage Ramble, whenever we record, I'll kind of talk and give highlights about what Tony Khan was talking about. And then we're going to try to have someone on the post-show, post-pay-per-view media call, and they can check in with us during the after party.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, because he does like to do those right after the pay-per-view, doesn't he?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Well, so if you're cool. listening
when
to
is,
this...
When is the one on Friday? What time is the one on Friday?
It is at 1 p.m. Eastern, so 12 noon Central.
And is it going to be on YouTube and stuff? Like, how do you check it out?
Typically, it's only for the media, so you kind of get the reports from the dirt sheets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's always interesting to see what he has to say. Probably won't say anything about MJF, which is the question everybody wants to hear
the
most.
Funny. As we were recording, I don't think you saw this yet, but I'm like, because I signed up for the media call this morning, and I'm like, you know how yesterday in our host chat, Mike is like, we only maybe get one question. I'm not going to waste it on something that people, that Tony Khan is going to kind of like brush off, being the MJF stuff. And then I'm like, since we have two people on the line, I'm going to ask the MJF question.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's cool. I mean, yeah, exactly. Even if he just says, I have no comment on the situation, fine, right? Like, that's, we can figure out what they're doing and that. So I think it's great.
Yeah,
I think it's great. So, yeah, we'll just have as many people on the line as we can so we can get all our questions in there.
Exactly. good times. But I'm really, overall, I still think it's going to be a great show. AEW.
Right.
They hurt themselves in the grand scheme of stuff by not promoting who these people are. They had this quick turnaround, and the go-home show left a lot to be desired, but it was still entertaining as a standalone show. I still liked it, still looking forward to the show, and I think that Sunday will deliver. But, we have to remember, it's not just us watching these shows.
Yeah,
the
man.
Casual
it's
fans.
It's not really good that the thing we come away from was like, holy Christ, wow, Christian was friggin' great this week. That's not what we should be walking away with, right?
Yep. Yep. That's my biggest takeaway. My biggest fear of what AEW is doing. I understand that this is a thank you to all of their fans, but man, you know, you have new fans to that you have to get on board. You're 3 years in. You know, you're
yeah,
3 years
yeah,
in.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it I guess it's too early for numbers still?
Yeah, I've been refreshing my internet and it's
okay.
Still-
well maybe on the Rampage show, you can maybe yep. you'll have the numbers by then, and then you can kind of run through it and see what people have to say. Because I'm so curious about, and I want to see like not just the overall number, but I want to kind of like see the pattern. Because I want to see if like, you know, people saw that Brian promo right off the top, and did they turn off because I was almost ready to turn off because of that. I'm just like, oh, and the mystery opponent thing, come on.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious. And then there were other, like, you know, as we so elegantly detailed, there were other issues too. So I'm really curious to see, did it go up and down? Did it just go down? Like, what happened here? So
yeah, the AEW trend is so crazy.
You can
crazy.
Give your response, and I can't hear it because
I'm just gonna keep talking. You can again. Catch up whenever you can, unless you start talking. But here's the thing, dude. MJF's been gone for how many weeks, and we've seen the ratings kind of decline since MJF has been gone. If you take a look at the graphs, where you know when we see and MJF is on, dude, he is. Typically one of the most rated, highest rated yeah. people.
Yep.
So,
yep.
man, oh, man. This whole storyline might backlash in the grand scheme of stuff,
dude,
if you're keeping MJF off TV.
It was so funny. Okay, hopefully this will stay connected here. One of the guys I work with loves professional wrestling, but he's really not a big fan of modern pro wrestling. He loves the old school stuff. But because I've been harping at him about AEW, he's been checking it out lately. And he hits me up the other day and he goes, what's going on with MJF? They go, that guy's great. How come he's not on the TV and stuff? And I'm like, because they're doing this realistic angle where there's tension between him and management. And I'm the same as you. He's your friggin' hottest guy. People love him. He should be on the TV. Like, the fact that he is not on the TV right now, I think is hurting them big time, because he's like, it's cool that they're trying to do the angle and I understand it and all that and that whole work shoot shit, but there's, you have to time these things the right way, and not having MJF on the television, like, it's not like the way it's been presented the last couple of weeks, the intrigue is not there. It's not like people are going, where is he? Where is he? Because there's no mention of him at all. There's no tease, nothing, like anything, not even a cryptic comment from one of the announcers, maybe the little bit in the Christian promo, but like, that's it. So it's like, I think once you just take him and you erase him so strongly with no hints of what's happening next, I think that hurts. Like I said to my buddy, I said, I think they're making a mistake. I think yep. he should be on your TV absolutely every single week. So I'm very curious. But I'm also figuring that after this paper, they've maybe put it on the back burner because this pay-per-view, yep. they had to deal with it. And perhaps I'm guessing after the pay-per-view, something will happen to further that story. But I'm with you. He should be on the TV every week.
What's crazy is, let's say this is all an angle and they haven't renegotiated a contract and ratings continue to dip. MJF has so much ammo right now to ask for all the monies.
That's a great point, too. I mean, it's so weird. I mean, again, I understand it. And he's probably infatuated with that era of the business where this has been tried in the past. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do it seriously. And he is, you know, which is great. But ultimately, I think people want to see this guy. So after Forbidden Door, I think that really maybe even at Blood and Guts, something will happen.
Something should
with
something
him should. Or some sort of announcement or something, but they need to get there.
Speaking of getting places, I think we've reached the end of the show. And of course I'm cut off probably, but Dan, I think we put the show to bed. Are you ready to do your spiel before we
yes.
go?
No, that's it. We're done. Like, we need to get out of here because this freaking thing is driving us crazy. So thanks. If you sat through this entire show, we thank you profusely because This was like a ridiculous exercise. But there you go. After party, Boris doing Rampage on Friday. So lots more stuff coming your way. And Boris, I'll let you take us out because I can't hear nothing.
I love it. Join the Patreon, which is funny enough. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio. Jason Agnew is going to regret putting us together ever after this show. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you on Rampage Ramble. I'll see you at the after party. Patrons, you'll get your link. Everyone else, YouTube. That's it. Goodbye. Adios. Tranquilo.
Brother.